Hey everyone, welcome into our messages. We've kind of made a change. Hopefully this will be a change that you guys will enjoy and appreciate. We're doing things a little differently with the messages going forward. Not on the stage, want to be a little more personal and be here with you guys this way. So we have entered the first Sunday of Lent. I mean, it's hard to believe we've made it to Lent. Lent is such a great season. And as we get into these messages over the next 6-7 weeks, I'm going to be reading the scripture at the front and then kind of breaking it down as we go, which is a little different than I typically preach, but I want to do something different for this series, so we're going to do that. So if you have your Bibles open, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 today, just verses 9 through 18, okay? And so open your Bibles up to that, and that's where we'll be. And the message today is titled Forgiving Others, and really excited about this message. I feel like God is going to speak, so please open your heart and your mind to what God has to say. Let's pray and let's ask God to speak through the message today. Heavenly Father, thank you for just an opportunity to preach and to share your word. Father, speak through me in clear ways to whoever is watching this today or listening to this today. And Father, I just pray that you will do what only you're capable of through the work of your Holy Spirit. Pray this in your name. Amen. All right. So again, we are in the first Sunday of Lent. And like I said before, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. And for those of you who have been in church for a while or who've gone to churches before, this may be a familiar passage to you. But if not, I hope that this passage will be enlightening to you about what Jesus has to tell us about prayer. All right. So again, starting in verse 9 of chapter 6, it says this: Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And when you fast, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that this is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair. I don't have that. Wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. You know, forgiveness is a difficult topic to talk about in our world. In our culture, we are taught not to forgive, that we don't have to forgive, that forgiveness is not necessary unless you want to forgive somebody. I mean, put it this way. When we look at our culture, we make non-apology apologies regularly, right? We say things like, I'm sorry you feel that way, or I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't mean to offend you. Or even, it was just a joke, man. No big deal. You know, the second thing is we sometimes force forgiveness in ways that are not helpful, or even sometimes it's harmful. These factors make approaching our text this week a challenge. Because of the immense amount of baggage the idea of forgiveness carries, especially for the people who are abused or who have been oppressed, it would be easy to gloss over or even ignore verse 15, where Jesus says, "But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." It would be easier for us to, on this first Sunday of Lent, to just skip past Jesus' words of forgiveness altogether and instead focus on prayer and fasting. After all, Lent is the season of prayer and fasting. But I would argue Lent is the season of confession and repentance. And tied up in the midst of all of that is a focus on forgiveness. Lent is also a season when we confront the hard things of life, our sin, our brokenness, our humanity, even our own mortality, instead of avoiding them. So instead of glossing over it or repeating shallow platitudes about the need to forgive, we confront and wrestle with this difficult topic this morning. Let's talk about hypocrisy for a second, because this is something that in our culture, many will look at Christians, look at the church, and they'll just call us hypocrites, right? Well, let's confront that for a second. The context for Matthew 6 is a call against the hypocrisy of the time, specifically surrounding the ways that people gave to the poor and the way that people prayed and the way that people fasted. Let's talk about giving to the poor. Giving to the poor was a common practice at the time, just as it is today. Jewish people gave at the synagogue and pagans gave at their own temples. Giving to the poor often turned into a way to receive public accolades and praise from others, so that giving became less about an outpouring of love and compassion and more about attention, power, and even social capital. At times, giving was also viewed as a kind of quid pro quo, a way to manipulate the gods, little g, into doing something for the giver in return. Well, if I give to the poor, if I do enough, the gods are gonna not smite me. Second thing was praying. Praying was a common practice. Jewish people prayed in the synagogues and pagans prayed on street corners and in temples. In both cases, many times people were praying to be seen and approved by others. Luke 18 has a story about the difference between praying publicly for show and praying privately only to God. The Pharisee prays with arrogance and thanks God that he is not like the sinner. And the tax collector, the sinner, in contrast, prays humbly and with a contrite heart. If you were here on Wednesday night, we sang, "Give us clean hands." And we talked about having a contrite heart and a broken spirit. Pagans prayed lengthy and flowery prayers with wonderful language, thinking that the precise intellectual quality of their prayers would somehow help them to get what they wanted. And then fasting was also a common practice back in that time. Jewish people fasted according to their law, and pagans fasted in order to garner favor with the gods. Again, little g. It was popular for anyone who fasted in this time period to make themselves look more destitute, so everyone would know they were being pious and devout by fasting. They had ways of marking their faces and clothing to demonstrate their own suffering so they could garner public approval. Even in the church today, when it comes to Ash Wednesday that we just went through on this last Wednesday night, there are people who wear the ashes during the day so that everybody knows they're a Christian and it's Ash Wednesday. It's a show. It's not necessarily a heart thing for them. Now, I hope for most people it is, but it's probably not for everybody, right? Jesus' advice in the passage that we read in Matthew chapter 6, it is not to neglect the formative practices that we engage in, but to do them privately rather than publicly in order to avoid hypocrisy. When you give, do it so anonymously that your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand is doing. Jesus basically says it's impossible to be praised if no one knows what you're doing. It's impossible to be praised if no one knows. When you pray, do it privately and simply. God doesn't need to be flattered, but rather worshiped. That doesn't mean you don't ever pray publicly, okay? As your pastor, I got to tell you, praying publicly is a good thing at times, okay? We need to do that. And when you fast, go about your normal routine so it's not obvious that you're fasting. Don't change your life pattern so that people see, oh, he's really hungry, so he must be fasting. Fasting is about formation. It's not about accolades. Spiritual formation. Heart formation. If no one knows you're fasting, your motivation for fasting will change. Now let's talk about forgiveness. Since Jesus' statement about forgiving others is placed in the middle of this passage, right after his prayer instruction and right before his fasting instruction, that means his teaching on forgiveness fits into a larger theme of hypocrisy. There are two kinds of forgiveness that Jesus might be concerned about: forgiving economic debt and forgiving sins. Those are two things. Forgiving economic debt, forgiving sins. Matthew 18, 21 through 35 tells the ultimate story about hypocrisy in relation to economic debt. The parable of the unmerciful servant who has a great debt forgiven, but himself refuses to forgive a debt. Forgive a small debt, to be specific. In some translations of the Lord's Prayer, instead of saying, forgive us our trespasses, it'll say, forgive us our debts. Debt is an economic concept, right? The Israelites were commanded to practice jubilee, the periodic forgiving of all financial debt. Bet you didn't know that, huh? Some of us would say, we wish there was jubilee more often here. Those of us who sit under the weight of debt can understand the freedom that might come from having those debts canceled before we paid them in full. What kind of freedom does having a debt canceled open up for individuals and for families? The Lord's Prayer specifically might reference economic or even financial debt, but Jesus is also concerned with the forgiveness of sins. God forgives us. We forgive others. The concept seems simple, and the parable of the unmerciful servant can apply here too. If we are forgiven of much by God, which we are, then we're obligated to forgive much of other people. And yes, forgiveness is important. It is a part of the life of a follower of Christ. When we look at these verses in concert with the parable of the unmerciful servant, we see that forgiveness is supposed to be the response of those who have been forgiven. Nobody is asking a wronged party in this parable to forgive the one who wronged them. Instead, the servant is expected to forgive, to show the same mercy to others that he was shown. It's not about justifying the actions of the person that hurt you. It's forgiving them because you are forgiven. It's important to understand, consider the power dynamic here. When someone owes us money, that puts us, the person who lent the money, in a seat of power, right? The one in power is the one with the ability to cancel the debt. The focus is not on the one who owes the money to forgive their lender for keeping them in debt. Remember that the overarching message of the Matthew 6 text is about hypocrisy, not about giving to the poor, praying, forgiving, or fasting in and of themselves. Neglecting the context of the passage is detrimental to our faith and the faith of others. Now, numerous studies have been done on the psychological benefits of forgiveness. People who choose to forgive the perpetrators of heinous crimes committed against themselves or loved ones tend to be psychologically healthier on an average basis. Holding on to pain and refusing to forgive can absolutely be damaging. And withholding forgiveness rarely hurts the offending party. Yet everyone has their own journey and timetable even for forgiveness. It doesn't all come at once, and not everybody's the same, right? Some it will take longer to work through the trauma that they might have experienced than others. Jesus's focus on forgiveness here in verses 14 and 15 is not meant to be a threat that we use against other people. It's not about pointing out other people's need to forgive, but is instead about examining our own need to forgive. Lent, the season of Lent, is a time for us to reflect collectively on our own sins. It's not a time to point out the sins of others. It's no coincidence that in the very next chapter in Matthew, he warns us, Jesus warns us against judging others, and yet another safeguard against hypocrisy and against pressuring others in unhealthy and damaging ways. We are not to look at the lack of forgiveness of others, but only at our own lack of forgiveness toward others. Isn't that interesting? Now we're coming to the end here. Let's do some self-examination for just a moment. What would happen if we examine the debts others owe us in our own lives in light of this passage, this scripture that we read today? Sometimes relationships are ruined over things as simple as a $20 debt. How would forgiving these debts create freedom, both for ourselves and for other people? Are there sins that have been done to us that we are holding on to? Whether we're waiting for an apology or something greater, what is being robbed from us in this waiting? What can we release in order to find greater freedom? Where are we hypocritically calling others to forgive or seeking applause for our displays of forgiveness? What would it look like? What would it look like to forgive in secret? Just like we are asked to pray and to give in secret. Are there times when we've been bullied, coerced, or harassed into unhealthy forms of forgiveness? Remember that God does not want us to be harmed. Is there an action we need to take to live life more abundantly? Where do we recognize that we have been the one who has sinned and need to seek forgiveness? What does a true apology look like? What does it look like to seek forgiveness while respecting the healthy boundaries of other people? Folks, forgiveness is deeper than rote apologies. It's a releasing of something we feel we are owed, sometimes in a literal sense. When we pray the forgiveness part of the Lord's Prayer, we are praying into existence a kingdom where we are equals who do not hold things over other people. In Lent, we confront the hard truth that we are called to forgive what is owed to us, to release the pain of our wounds. But we also know we live in a messy world where some wrongs are unspeakable. We know that God desires good for us and not harm. So we acknowledge that forgiveness doesn't mean we return to the way things were. In Lent, we also confront the hard truth that often we are hypocrites who seek praise even in the ways we forgive, and who find it easier to point out the sin of others than to examine our own hearts. So, here are three things that we do today. I am doing this today. I encourage you to do this today. We confess, we repent, and we seek a different way. As we do this hard work of forgiving, of laying down our hypocrisies, and of holding intention challenging truths, may we find a God who is slow to anger and quick to forgive us. May we remember that Christ is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. 1 John 1:9. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to break open your word and to learn from it. And Father, you do call us to forgive. Not for the show, not for other people's benefit, but really because you forgave us. You were merciful to us, so we are merciful and gracious to others. Father, help us to be more and more like that every single day. Father, be with us now. Be with us in the season of Lent. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. I hope you like the new format here. And by the way, this is in my office, and there's so many nice things here for you. If you don't know, I like Marvel, so got Iron Man and Groot, of course, and Hulk. And then right here, we've got, over here, Rocket Raccoon right there for you. So Cookie Monster, of course. Welcome into my office, and have a great week. We'll see you next time.